Welcome to Peak Health Unlocked, a docuseries show interviewing experts to unpack the latest science, technology, and wellness practices, all with the purpose of helping you unlock your peak health. This show would not be possible without the support of Thrive Performance and Regenerative Medicine, a team prepared to go all in to craft your personalized peak health plan. Visit the link in the show notes to start your health transformation. Enjoy the show. Matteo has always been obsessed with performance, athletic performance, business performance, and now sleep performance. It was his quest for more restorative sleep that led him to quit his previous life and launch 8Sleep, a New York-based company dedicated to fueling human potential through optimal sleep and to turning the bed into a seamless health platform for improved health, performance, and longevity. All right, Matteo from 8Sleep. Here we are. How do you define immunity?
I mean, it's the ability of your body to make sure you don't get sick, I would say, in the simplest way possible. If I had to pitch it to my grandma.
Yeah, that's perfect. And we're, you know, obviously we want to talk, or the reason you're on the show is we want to talk about sleep and immunity. And I know you're really passionate about sleep fitness and sleep science and all of that. So why don't we just jump right in when it comes to, you know, relating this to back to immunity and our health. You know, what's your take on the role of sleep?
I mean, there is plenty of medical evidence that connects sleep to multiple verticals of our health, including immunity, right? I think there is two data that is pretty important. The first one is that if you sleep less than 7 hours, you have a 25% increase in chances of heart attack, disease, and stroke. There is another evidence that less than 7 hours of sleep reduces the ability of your body to fight infections by 30%. Mm. So these are two of the most relevant to me. But in general, if you step back for a second, again, there is plenty of evidence that connects sleep to diseases, to longevity, to obesity, because it has an impact on a bunch of your hormones. And so it will have an impact on how much you eat and what you eat. So across the board, I will always say that health is based on three pillars: sleep, nutrition, and exercise. But the real foundation is sleep, because if you start sleeping 2 hours a night, at first, you risk to die, but more than anything, there is no nutrition and no exercise that can help you at that point. So the first thing you need to nail is sleep.
Yes, absolutely. We say that sleep is the secret sauce when clients ask us, you know, about those pillars of health. And yet you stated so astutely that, yes, there's a lot of science that shows this. And if you have a sleep debt, your T cell count goes down and your inflammatory cytokines go up, and that puts you at risk for flu and, you know, the current pandemic, all these different types of viruses and infections. So there's no doubt how sleep affects the immune system, and it affects it negatively if you don't get enough sleep or the quality of sleep. So, question I wanted to ask you was, like, I've heard you coin this term of sleep fitness. So we hear the term sleep hygiene, and that's kind of the surroundings and the environment that you create so that you get to optimize your sleep. What do you mean by sleep fitness?
Yeah, I think one thing we wanted to do is to turn the conversation and switch from sleep being a passive action where you are almost wasting time to something active that you do to really maximize your health, your longevity, and even your recovery. And so the example I always make is like going to the gym, right? You go to the gym because you want to feel good, you want to be fit, and because you know it's good for your health and longevity. That is the same approach you should have for sleep. You go to bed to sleep for the next 7 to 9 hours, because that is what is going to make you fit and feel good and stay healthy. And so we call it sleep fitness instead of sleep hygiene or just sleep. And the idea is to transition to a concept of sleep that is active. You are doing something for your body and for your own health.
Love that. It's such a, It seems like a minor perspective shift, like when you speak about it, but it's massive. And I can only imagine that because most people are just not at that point, right?
Yeah. Because sometimes people say, and it's something that it comes from the 80s and the 90s, and people say, oh, I will sleep when I'm dead. Sleep is a waste of time. No. Sleep is like going to the gym. You are doing something for your body and you're putting the time, putting the effort. It's a good effort because it's not as demanding as going to the gym, but you're doing something for your own good.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too, I mean, we definitely want to get into, the product and what you guys are working on, is it's super innovative. But I remember in one of our past chats, you just talked about innovation in this space and how there's been such lack of. I'd love for you to kind of just share that example, because I think it shares a really awesome perspective where we don't even think about this, but when it comes to beds, there really hasn't been much movement since a long time, let's just say, right?
Yeah, I mean, I give you a couple of examples. So the first one is, outside aid sleep, there is substantially no technology in your beds. So this means that over the past 2,000 years, we were not able to develop any technology for sleep. We just expect to go to bed and our body will magically fall asleep and it will magically wake up fully recover, which doesn't make any sense. Second, if you go on Google and you Google for a bed in the Middle Age, it will substantially look the same bed that we have today. And that was 1,500 years ago. The third example is, sometimes you hear people talking about memory foam. That seems like this no innovative product that was developed in like 1960 by the NASA. And we are still sleeping on that. There is no piece of technology. There is no software. So the bottom line is, we spend, assuming we live 100 years, we are going to spend 33 years on our life on a piece of dumb foam that didn't change for the past 2,000 years.
Yeah. Love it.
Mateo, I want to congratulate you because, you know, my wife, she likes to sleep a lot and I like to not waste the day. So as soon as I see any sunlight or even before sunlight, I'm up and at 'em. So I think that just looking at how cool this bed is, this could be a happy medium, especially when you talk about sleeping like going to the gym, because I like to go into the gym. So I just want you to take a minute. Can you just talk about the technology of the bed, you know, the sensors in the bed, and then, you know, with all of this data, for the listeners out there, what is the clinical endpoint? What are we going to do with this data?
Yeah, let me start from our vision, and then I'll answer specifically to your question. So our vision is based on two pillars. We want to do two things. We want to compress your sleep, and we want to save your life. We will compress your sleep by adjusting and optimizing the environment around you. And we started from temperature, and I will tell you more. And then we want to save your life through preventative medicine. What if we could scan your body every single night as you go to bed? What if going to bed was more valuable than going to the doctor? And we don't expect to replace the doctors. We just expect to enhance the doctors with more data. What we do today is we sell a device that comes in two different forms. It could be a whole mattress or a mattress cover that you can install onto your mattress. And it does two core things. First, it dynamically changes the temperature of your body during the night. So if you sleep with a partner, each of you will have a different temperature setting based on your preferences and what you need. And we will maximize your sleep through temperature regulation. Second, each of our devices has embedded sensors. We use what is called ballistocardiography. And substantially, you are sleeping on a stethoscope, Wi-Fi connected stethoscope. So we are able to track everything about your heart rate, about your respiration, and about your sleep. And you will be able to access your data through an app every morning.
Yeah, that sounds really, really cool. So you mentioned briefly that, we have different cycles of sleep. So we have our light sleep, deep sleep, REM sleep. They all occur at different times of the night. So we have a circadian rhythm of of when hormones are released and temperature changes and all that. So can you, is there a relationship to different temperatures in regards to maximizing each of those phases of sleep?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a correlation between temperature and the sleep stages, and I'll tell you more. And then your body temperature already changes during the night. So one important thing to say is when you hear people saying, oh, you shouldn't be sleeping at 68 degrees in your bedroom during the whole night, that is wrong. And the reason is your bedroom, your body temperature changes during the night. And so 68 degrees could be right for 1 hour out of the 8, but not for all the 8 hours. So what do you need? When you get in bed, you need a temperature that is not too cold. Otherwise, your extremities would get cold and your heart rate would accelerate to warm them up. So you can pick any temperature as long as you don't get your extremities, so the hands and the feet, cold. As soon as you fall asleep, you in the first part, in the first half of the night, you tend to have more deep sleep than REM. In deep sleep, a colder temperature is better. And so our system and our machine learning models will try to optimize for that. Then REM instead needs what is called thermal neutrality. Substantially, for your brain to let you fall into REM, temperature shouldn't be cold or it shouldn't be warm. Because when you are in REM or while you are in REM, the brain deactivates temperature control in your body. And so it doesn't let you get REM if it's too cold or too hot because the brain is fearing that you could die. So again, deep sleep, colder temperature, REM requires thermal neutrality.
So do the sensors in the bed actually respond to the data and it will actually train the machine to change temperature based on, you know, the sleep cycle that you're in?
Yeah, that's what we are working on. I'm actually the guinea pig. I have been sleeping on these models for months now. And that is exactly the goal. And in the future, based on this, we will be able to optimize for different things.
Awesome. So essentially, if the user selects the temperature when they go to sleep, obviously it's the temperature they'd like to feel as they're nodding off, the bed will respond after they go to sleep.
Exactly. And what our machine learning models will also learn over time is we monitor the weather in your zip code. We know the temperature in your bedroom. And through Apple Health, we also know if you train or not. And so we have assumptions about your body temperature. And based on that, we can adjust the temperature and change it every night and every hour.
Oh, wow. Pretty cool. Does the mattress measure pressure points as well? So, you know, some people like to toss and turn, or, you know, some people lie stiff as a board. Does it measure any of that and kind of adjust? Are those habits related to temperature that are, you know, like you said, accelerating your heart rate to warm up your extremities and waking you up? Is there a correlation with that?
Yeah. So we measure toss and turns. We measure wake ups. Obviously, we measure all the sleep stages. We don't have the data. We didn't look yet into data, but it definitely makes sense that toss and turns and wake ups might have an impact on your temperature.
What about the data, Matteo, just, you know, globally? I mean, obviously, right now we're talking about very individualized, you know, experiences and whatnot, but I imagine as you continue and as more people are on the beds and you're collecting information and whatnot, there's got to be benefit health-wise to that, right? Like what you're able to, I don't know, predict or, you know, change in terms of sleep hygiene and sleep fitness.
Yeah, that happens in a couple of different dimensions. So the first one is, I think, you know, there is a rule also in business that you don't improve what you don't measure. And so the fact that we can measure it for you becomes valuable. The big difference between us and a wearable, outside the fact that we actually help you improve your sleep, but it's really, you don't have to wear anything, you don't have to charge anything. And so our customers use our product every single day for 10 years. And so we have the data, no matter what, and through the data, then we will coach you to improve your sleep habits. At the same time, because we have such a great retention and we are really in this journey together with our users, we will see you aging. right? Your heart rate today is different from your heart rate in 5 years from now. The way you breathe today is different from your breathing in 5 years from now. Maybe you don't have sleep apnea today, but you will have it in 5 years. And so we are really building a journey together with our users for the next 5 to 10 years and potentially even longer. And we want to be a partner that will help them with their own health.
That's cool.
Interesting, Matteo. You know, I had one specific question. What about, and this is obviously more a personal question between partners, but what about, you know, the person that falls asleep later, wakes up later? Are you guys taking data on that?
Yeah, I mean, we have data on everything. A large part of our customers, they are couples. And so obviously for each device, we have two users. Obviously, all the data is aggregated, anonymized. We are compliant with, you know, all the guidelines and rules for data management and treatment. But yeah, we see major trends.
Right. So you know, let's say that I fall asleep, go to bed at 9 or 10, and my wife goes to bed at 2 in the morning. The bed will sense two different users. Is that what you're saying, on two different sides of the bed?
Yeah, each side of the bed is completely independent, both in terms of data and in terms of temperature settings.
Wow, that's amazing.
50% of the couples, they have different temperature preferences. And so we are solving a major problem there, because we are solving and saving a lot of marriages.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you hear this conversation constantly amongst couples about the temperature of the bed, one being hot, one being cold. But yeah. For me specifically with my wife, Katie, fortunately, we're both like the same temperature, but unfortunately we're both heat generators, and I'm more like burning embers and she's like lava. So she's a little bit hotter than me when she sleeps. A cool temperature really serves us well. But again, you know, if that temperature is constant throughout the night, you definitely start getting cold and your temperature kind of fluctuates and you're in and out of sleep. So this technology is amazing. And the CDC reports like 50 to 70 million people have sleep disorders. So it's a huge, it's a real pandemic. It's huge for people. So this technology is amazing that it's addressing sleep directly, like in the way that you are.
There are a couple of different segments that really need this. One, the most obvious, is, you know, couples, because as we were saying, many couples, they fight around temperature. Second, there is athletes, which is a big chunk of our users. And the reason is, by enhancing your sleep, we help you recover faster. So you could be an athlete, or you could just be a person in fitness or a CrossFitter. So we will help you recover faster. And then there are women in menopause, because they have hot flashes. And so for them, it's really hard at night with the hot flashes to sleep. Because what happens is, you get in bed and obviously you keep generating body heat. So your body keeps dissipating heat, and the foam of the bed just attracts this heat and it keeps it. So your bed every minute is getting warmer and warmer, which is the opposite of what you want, based on what I was telling you, for deep sleep and then REM. And so our current beds are not designed for any sleep efficiency. They are just designed for comfort. And that's why so many people in the world, they struggle.
Right. Is there, as far as, you know, your bed is really focused on kind of temperature, circadian rhythm, but is there anything else that you like to focus in on your biohacks for sleep, like darkness of the room, red light therapy beforehand, you know, relaxation techniques, anything like that, that you specifically kind of recommend or do yourself?
Yeah, I do a lot of things. I call myself a sleep nerd. There are a couple of different things that I would recommend. The first one is consistency. So try to go to bed at the same time, and more than anything, wake up at the same time every day, also during the weekend. Otherwise, you just jet lag your body every weekend. Mm-hmm. The number one thing you want to do, and every sleep doctor would tell you, is wake up at the same time every single day. Second, I use Philips Hue at my house, and there are routines. So at 7:30, the lights switch to orange, and then they start dimming down every 30 minutes. And by 9:30, the lights are off in my house. That helps me to avoid blue light. Orange light helps with melatonin, and it also now sets the mood to start slowing down. Mm-hmm. I love what is called thermal shock. So you can do it in two ways. You could do you could have a shower and you keep switching between hot and cold, 30 yep. seconds and 30 seconds. That helps me relax. Then sometimes when I'm traveling or if you have access to a sauna, you could try to do a sauna and a cold shower or an ice bath. That mm-hmm. to me works great. It really relaxes me completely. Other things I do from time to time, I take some supplements, melatonin, magnesium, or CBD. I test different products and I found what works for me. Magnesium usually is good to relax your muscles, not much more than that. While instead of melatonin and CBD, they could help you fall asleep. I do sort of mobility, or I use a massage gun from HyperEyes before falling asleep. So I try to lose some part of my body, in particular the hips and other areas. And then there is the temperature, right? So for me, the secret to improve my sleep performance was the bedroom and the bed temperature.
Yeah, Mateo, one other question, since we're talking about adjuncts, I know you guys have a weighted blanket. I think when weighted blankets first came out, I really brushed it off, but I realized that as I started sleeping with two blankets, it's like a weighted blanket. Even when it was a little bit warmer, that I slept better. So can you just tell us a little bit about your weighted blanket, and do you use a weighted blanket?
I don't use it personally. A lot of our customers, they love it. I think it's very personal. There are some early studies, most of the times backed by companies producing the weighted blankets, but there are some early studies proving that it should drive some benefits. What we have seen talking to our customers as a number one reason is they like this sense of coziness. If someone was hugging you, so the weight is helping in that direction. And our product works perfectly with weighted blankets, because even if they generate more heat, then there is the bed that can cool you down.
Do you said you do some relaxation techniques. Is there any specific thing that you like to do, like gratitudes or journaling or breath work or anything like that, that you do, you know, either in the morning or at night or anything like that to set the stage for a good night's sleep?
Yeah, I do a couple of different things. So in the night, first, I really do mobility and some massage with this massage gun on my legs, on my feet, on my hands and the hips, and some basic mobility exercises. In the morning when I wake up, I do what I call self-reflection. So I try to spend some time doing nothing, just sitting there. Is a technique, it's pretty obvious, but I follow it because there is one of our investors, Naval, who is pretty famous tech investor, who always says every morning you should spend 1 hour doing nothing, just thinking and letting your mind racing and just go wherever the monkey mind wants to go. Right. I don't always do 60 minutes. Sometimes I do like 30. But it's still extremely valuable for me. And then one thing I'm working on are breathing exercises, and I want to do that at night before going to bed.
Are you mixing the breathing with your hot-cold therapy, like Wim Hof style?
Yeah, that would be the best. So that is what I would like to learn. Actually, yesterday we gave a breathing session to the whole company. So we hired a breathing expert, and we did a Zoom call where he helped everyone to breathe and to relax, and it was a pretty awesome experience.
Mateo, I know you guys are taking lots of data, and I know that this question comes up a lot, but do you have any insight on what you guys have learned in terms of the correct amount of sleep? I know you talked about sleep compression and sleep fitness, so can you give us any insight on that?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at all the current medical studies now, they really say you should sleep between 7 and 9 hours. what I always tell people is try to do this exercise. Try to sleep 1 hour more per day for a week. Just do that. Doesn't matter how much you're sleeping today. Just add an hour every day for a week. And then you tell me how you feel. And if you feel the same, okay, it means that, you know, whatever was the amount you were sleeping before was good. If now you feel 10x better, it means very likely you were sleep deprived. The bottom line, again, it's very personal. It should be somewhere between 7 and 9 hours. But what is important, and it's something that I learned when I started this company, why I started this company, is the reality is not that our body needs 7 or 9 hours of sleep. Our body needs a certain amount of deep sleep and REM. The light sleep is substantially a sort of inefficiency of our body to transition and get enough deep and REM. And so everyone is different, and the way we will achieve sleep compression is by reducing the amount of light sleep without touching or actually increasing deep and REM.
Super practical. That's what I like about that, right? I mean, anyone listening right now, we can all just add an additional hour of sleep, at least to have a bit of a test.
Exactly. And then you see how you do. In my case, I started since March sleeping 9 hours a night. And all my biometrics went up. So, I mean, in the right direction. HRV went up, resting heart rate went down. And in general, I felt much more energized and my productivity went up. And I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but also the company performance overall just went up.
Right there, yeah.
It's really interesting because Rhett and I have the same issue. So it's not really an issue, but it's just the difference is that Rhett and I sleep less, go to sleep early, wake up really early, but our wives like to sleep a lot more than we do. And so there's a huge difference in the amount of sleep that they get versus we get. And at first I would try to say, oh, what are you doing? Why are you sleeping so late? But now I realize that like, if she sleeps more, it's better for her, you know, her physiology is just different. Same thing with Rhett, same thing. We've had these conversations as well, but it's interesting. Do you guys ever, or have you taken into consideration chronotypes? So I've seen a couple different scales where they use birds and some use mammals, like a lion wakes up early, a wolf stays up late. I think a dolphin kind of sleeps semi-hemispherically, and then like a bear kind of is up at the time. Yeah. Do you ever take those into consideration in when you're recommending different sleep patterns for people or adjusting the bed data?
Yeah. So we started working on that, and there are definitely different patterns. There is what it should be a baseline that should be try to go to sleep around 10 and try to have 7 to 9 hours. That is the baseline. And the reason is the early part of the night is considered one of the best times for your sleep compared to the second part of the night. But at the end of the day, everyone is different. And so you need to feel sleepy and go to bed and use the bed only really to sleep outside, obviously sex, but you shouldn't spend time in bed unless you're really, you know, sleeping. This is what every sleep doctor would tell you, because otherwise mentally you start creating a correlation between bed and other activities. Those activities could generate anxiety and then you don't fall asleep. But going back to your original point is the chronotype part has been studied in particular for teenagers, because there are a bunch of studies that they say that starting school very early goes completely against what is the perfect sleep pattern for teenagers, because teenagers, because of their development, they tend to fall asleep later and they need to wake up then later. And so setting school that early is actually detrimental and has a negative impact on their health because they're sleep deprived. And so in the UK, if I remember correctly, they did a test where they were letting teenagers go to school later and all their scores went up with the test.
Fascinating. There's definitely so much that goes into sleep that, you know, we're just now really starting to focus in on. So this is fascinating stuff.
It's also just like diet, you know, where you can't be dogmatic with, you know, not diet, one diet works for everyone. So I've definitely learned a lot with, you know, being with my wife and realizing that not everyone's sleep pattern is different and some things may work better for others.
Yeah, that to me is actually one of the most important things about health. And I'm a huge advocate of what I call personalized health. The reality is, yes, there are rules of thumb, right? And they can tell you that you should sleep 8 hours, and they can tell you that you should eat these at this time and exercise these amount of times. But the reality is everyone is different. And the point is, right now, until now, there was no personalized health because we were unable to track what is going on in our body. Even today, we are probably still at version 0.1. It's like the internet in 1995 about body tracking. And I just saw it recently with my wife because I use a CGM. So I monitor my glucose levels in real time. I fast every day. So usually I eat once per day, except for the weekends when I do 16-8 fasting. And I was always pushing her to fast with me, and she was not doing it. Then she started using a CGM, and we started noticing that she has major drops in her glucose. And so for her, fasting is actually extremely bad because she would go, you know, with glucose levels in the 40s or 50s, while instead your minimum is in the 70s. While instead my body, even if I don't eat, stays flat, you know, at the minimum baseline, and I'm completely, you know, in a healthy condition while fasting. And so that really opened my eyes to make me understand that the theory that everyone should fast and fast is so good for your longevity is, again, completely wrong. It can work for you, it can work for me, but maybe it doesn't work for the other people in this show.
Yeah, and I think it also illustrates the, like you said, the some new smart technology. You know, as long as it doesn't become intrusive, data is really where personalization is going, and we incorporate that at Thrive as well. So we use CGMs also. So it's exciting for us to see a mattress that tells you how you sleep. It's very interesting.
Yeah, particularly because you don't have to wear anything, you don't have to charge anything, you don't have to change your habits. So keep doing what you were doing until yesterday. But tomorrow morning, if there is anything wrong, we will let you know and we will have your back.
Awesome.
It's amazing. I saw some language from you in other interviews where, you know, you talk about just, you know, we got to get off the dumb beds, essentially, right? There's no technology. Yeah. There's nothing there helping you. It's pretty cool.
It's super quick, but again, think in terms of a lifetime, right? Let's say you live 100 years. You're going to spend 33 years of your life on a piece of damn foam, laying flat on this piece of foam. It doesn't make any sense. 30 years of your life? No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, so true.
I love it.
As far as some of the other biohacks that you have for sleep, do you... what time do you recommend people stop using their blue light devices, computer screens, iPads, phones, TVs, things of that sort? How far ahead of time before you go to sleep? And also, I guess along that same line, are you a fan of the blue blocking glasses?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I have a slightly contrarian opinion on this, meaning, yeah, try to avoid the blue light. But no, now, for example, Apple, your iPhone is already changing the color. I think at least what works for me, because we go back to the personalized health concept, right? To me, it's not so much the blue light, it's more if my brain is still on and I receive an email or I receive certain stuff that, you know, let my mind racing, then I don't fall asleep. And so it's not so much just the phone itself, that sometimes it might become really hard to say, oh, for the last 2 hours before going to bed, I don't touch my bed, and then I'm off for 8 hours, 9 hours because I'm asleep, things like that. And so my recommendation is more, if you can avoid your phone, avoid it for 1 hour before going to bed. But if you still want to use your phone, don't feel guilty, otherwise it will give you just anxiety. Just pay attention to what you do, right? Try to be careful on the type of information that you input in your brain, because you don't want to create anxiety. You don't want to create stress or additional tasks on your brain, or you will not fall asleep. For the glasses, I think they are a great thing, right? There are blue wave glasses that you could wear, and they will reduce the even more the blue light from your phone or TV or any device.
Nice. Any thoughts on red light therapy?
Yeah. So I have done it. I do it. I have a bunch of red lights. I tend to do it more in the morning. Mm-hmm. And overall, I like it. I think the challenge with light therapy is always really hard to quantify the benefit. You know, you do it, but it's not that then you immediately see a benefit. And so one of the biggest challenges is to really stick with it. But then there is evidence that it should be able to help.
Yeah, I've used it, you know, trying to do it at nighttime before I go to sleep and in the morning. But the one thing that I find, you know, that is not tech-based, but is basically an ancestral living principle, is setting that circadian rhythm, is walking as the sun rises. And we don't all have the luxury of being able to do that. But when I get to do that, it really sets my rhythm, and I feel much better getting that exposure as the sun's rising. And then I do some, you know, Mark, you know, has taught me how to do stacking of my different mental fitness. So doing my gratitude, doing breath work, doing different things as I'm walking and really focusing and starting the day. But they, you know, I've heard that, you know, a great night's sleep starts the morning of. So that's really the thing that's had the most impact for me.
Yeah. Another thing that is working really well for me is to really try to get more sun exposure. So more vitamin D. And I don't have hard data proving it, but so I moved to Miami a couple of months ago. Historically, I always had restless legs, which is this feeling in the middle of the night that you wake up, you have sort of cramps. You need to get out of bed for a few minutes and then you can go back. And since when I moved here, I almost don't have it. And again, I don't have any hard evidence. And so what I'm saying could be completely wrong, but the only thing that really changed in my life is that I'm here and I'm getting a lot of, you know, sun exposure. So when I have a chance and I'm not working, I'm outside, we can, you know, I don't have breakfast, but I drink a coffee and I drink it outside in the morning. And so I see the sunrise. And so I started wondering if there was a correlation between like a vitamin D deficiency and my restless legs.
Yeah, definitely. There is some correlation with that, along with magnesium and some other vitamins and minerals. But yeah, there's no doubt that the data is strong that, you know, I think you lived in New York beforehand, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, in those northern latitudes and like where Mark's at, there's a huge decrease in vitamin D. And then not only just living in northern latitudes, but that we work indoors all day long in artificial light. So as we run labs on all our clients, I mean, it is just the vitamin D levels are dismal. And
yeah, like 90% of our client, 90%, including ourselves, that, you know, when we started this process.
So. Yeah. When I was working, you know, Rhett and I are classically trained anesthesiologists, and we'd go to work before the sun came up and leave when it was dark, and we never saw the sun. So unless we were on vacation. So yeah, we suffered from the same thing. And now I think even in England, they're starting to pass out vitamin D because they're realizing like how important that it is. It's more than a vitamin, but it acts as a hormone and it's crucial in the immune system. So yeah, I would say getting vitamin D and getting out in the sun, getting it naturally would be highly important and plays a role in a lot of different things that we see in chronic disease.
So Mateo, I'm just going to ask a really cool fashion forward question. What is on deck for 8 Sleep? What's up next? What can you tell us?
Yeah, I'm really excited about our product pipeline, both on software and on hardware. On the software side, we keep developing intelligence to maximize your sleep performance through temperature for now. We have new technology coming out on the temperature side. And then we are also working on a couple of new concepts to control more environmental factors.
It's amazing. It's pretty cool though, because you have the mix obviously of the, you know, the actual physical product and the software. So I mean, the updates you can do are endless, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love when our customers, you know, they call the pod, our technology, the Tesla of sleep. And the reason why they say that is like a Tesla that gets software updates. and it gets better. The same happens now with our beds, because maybe you wake up in the morning, there are certain features, but by the time you go to bed at night, there are new features that have been released and through software. And so it's something like if the ROI on your purchase gets better and better over time.
Sounds like a good investment. And yeah, and you're also talking about the, you know, it comes with an app that you guys update and add new features to as well, correct?
Yeah, through the app, you can control the device. You can see all your stats, and there is also content for meditation, breathing, and stretching. So yeah, you have a 360 support and also sleep coaching.
And the bed is designed to last about how long with normal usage?
I mean, beds are really designed to last 10 years. The good things for us is as we release new technology, you don't have to change the whole bed. You can just change the top layer and upgrade it if you want. And so imagine that every couple of years, you just want to change the top layer of your bed to have the latest technology for sleep enhancement. And you can buy it at a fraction of the price.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice. That's convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then last question. So there's also a, did you say that there's also a mattress cover though as well? I mean, is that, you sell the bed with the mattress cover? Or those are two different things.
They're two different things. So you can buy the whole bed, and we will ship you to, we'll ship it to your home, and it's a whole mattress with the temperature regulation and the sensors. Or you can buy just a mattress cover that you can install onto your current mattress and make it smart.
Interesting.
Does it have the same features as purchasing the whole bed, or is it limited?
Yeah. No, same exact features. It's really one or the other. We know certain customers are already in the market for a mattress. Some others, they just bought a mattress, and so they don't want to change it, or it's too difficult to sell it to the partner to change the whole mattress. And at that point, they can just buy the cover and still get the same benefits.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited because it's time for a new mattress. We're at that expiration date of our mattress. And this is this really excites me about the cooling and adjusting the temperatures throughout the night and really it being a smart bed. So really excited and going to really look into the website and really make a decision. But so as far as like if I'm looking at it as a consumer, I know there's other competitors out there. I've seen other cooling systems for beds. Like what sets 8Sleep apart from the competitors?
Yeah, so first, there is no one offering a fully integrated solution as a whole mattress. There are some accessories similar to our cover. But the big difference is, based on my understanding, none of them has any data and sensors. And so they are unable to adjust the temperature based on your biometrics and your circadian cycle. So it's just really any setting would be based only on time, but not on the biometrics and the circadian rhythm, which instead is what really makes the difference. Plus, they don't have any health component. So they don't track your heart rate, they don't track your respiration, and they don't track your sleep.
All right. Awesome. Sold.
Truly a smart bed.
Yeah. Well, Matteo, I mean, we want to respect your time and thank you for this conversation. We've got one final question, same prompt that everyone's going to get. And I feel like I know what the answer may be, but I'll ask it anyway. And it's just, you know, what is one thing you consider to be a non-negotiable to your immunity?
My sleep.
Got it.
It's cheap, it's free, and I actually enjoy sleeping. And so if it helps my immunity, I'm not going to compromise on that.
Well said. Well said.
Anything else that you're doing now in the pandemic to kind of enhance your immunity?
No, I mean, I'm really focused on the three pillars. So sleep, nutrition, and fitness. And so I really try to take care of all of them. Now that I moved to Miami, I can do more outdoor sport, which is great during COVID. And it's also really healthy. So
and sunlight. Yeah, you could
exactly
that is a pillar.
Sunlight for sure. Well, Matteo, thanks for your time. This was really interesting.
Thank you so much, Matteo. We really appreciate your time. And I'm serious. I'll be really looking at this bed to when it comes time to replace our mattress here in the next month or so.
Absolutely, looking forward to that. And thank you for having me. Really nice.
right. That was super fun. I was wondering where Philip was going with all the animals and whatnot, if you were asking a question about whether they're doing dog beds, but he flipped to something else.
No, it's a chronotype. So there's some based on birds, like there's a hummingbird, an owl, depending on when you go to sleep and wake up. But there's a new one. I forget the scientist that came up with this one, but he came up with it based on mammals because humans are mammals. So the lion rises before dark and hunts and then sleeps, goes to sleep early. The bear wakes up right at sunrise and kind of forages around throughout the day and goes to sleep at a normal hour. And then the wolf goes to bed really, really late at night and then sleeps in. And then the dolphin, there's a subset of people that kind of tend to have insomnia. And they pick the dolphin because when the dolphin sleeps, it sleeps with one hemisphere of its brain asleep and one awake, a standing guard. So when it's swimming around, because it still has to swim around, it still has to protect itself. So that's the basis of the chronotypes using animals. And that's where I was going with that. But the chronotype is important because it affects how you release all your hormones and your sleep cycles. So it would be interesting to see if you adjust the bed according to your chronotype, or like Rhett was saying, you know, he and Sarah have very different times that they go to sleep. So their hormones are going to be releasing at different times and their temperatures are going to be adjusting at different times. So that's what would be
Mark, I can do this, Mark, because it's the after show, but that was a wolf, not a woof.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Hey, it's wolf, wolf.
That was like, a wolf?
I know I'm Canadian, but I feel like that sounds off.
I'm just kidding, man. I'm going to make myself a target now whenever I mess up. So, no, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, Rick.
I've heard that description before, and I think it's really important. And that's something I've had to learn, even just in my own patients. And Philip has to learn the same thing. You know, you think everyone should have the same wake schedule, the same sleep schedule, the same workout schedule, the same work schedule. I mean, clearly we weren't nocturnal animals, but there's got to be some variation to it. So it's interesting. Yeah.
I think for me on this one, like there's a couple things that really stuck, but basically how he opened the show with just the idea of flipping the perception of sleep, right? That it's like, yeah, when you're going to sleep, it's like you're going to the gym, you're healing, you're resting, and it's you're training essentially in a different way. I feel like if we can shift our mind into a perception like that, it could completely change the game.
Yes. Gym, tan, laundry, and then back to the gym. I am in, dude.
Exactly.
I'm in, bro.
Where was that during the conversation?
I didn't think anyone would get that highbrow joke during the actual conversation, so I left it out. No, I think it's a truly a smart bed. And I've been trying to sell Sarah on the cooled beds for a while, but this one that collects data may just be the next winner.
Yeah, seems pretty cool. I think they're going to kill it with these mattress covers, though, because now you can, like, you know, there's obviously they can make a whole bunch of different sizes, and it's got to be way less expensive to do that. And it should just open things up.
Absolutely. This, and one of the things about the technology is you have to make it, you've got to try to make it available to everyone. So,
yeah. And the person I was referencing is Dr. Michael Bruce, and his book is The Power of When: Discover Your Chronotype, if people are interested in that. And there's a quiz that you can take and kind of figure out your chronotype so that you can kind of maximize, optimize your sleep. So I think it's important to start there and figure out how your biological clock is set. But yeah, and like we've spoken before, and we always espouse this, that having ancestral practices, like setting that circadian rhythm is important, and following your circadian rhythm, because it's going to lead to your hormones being released at certain times, when to eat properly, when to sleep properly, all those things. So important factor to consider.
It was a good one, guys. I gotta get to sleep.
Secret cross.
All right, we need to make sure the lawyers are happy and make sure that this information is clear for everyone. So please bear with me. But
The information on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. The statements and views expressed does not constitute a practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and the materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. The Peak Health Unlocked podcast disclaims any responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of the information contained herein. Opinions and views of the guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for any statements made by guests. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice from any medical condition they have, and they should seek the assistance of their own healthcare professionals for any such conditions. If you do want to become a patient of Thrive Performance and Regenerative Medicine, please go to thrivemedicine.com to contact us, and we would be happy and honored to help you unlock your peak health. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day.